verses 1 through 6. Now, this is Easter Sunday, the most hallowed on the calendar for the people of God, and as such, the celebration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ is always a very exciting time for the church and for the Christian. And there are usually some quote-unquote earthquakes in church buildings all across America on Easter Sunday. And they include things like praise groups bellowing out notes across the musical scale, powerful, reverberating music that shakes the chairs and the walls, strobe lights flashing and moving around, and the pews in a trance-like state swaying to the service. Is that an Easter earthquake? Most would say so. That was powerful. I could feel the Lord's presence, brother. Well, I'm not sure about that, but certainly felt the sound waves from the amplified music coming from the speakers there. That's considered worship by the shallow church-growing crowd of today. But is it? Is God not in a service like ours, with hymns sung and played traditionally, with sound biblical preaching out of the King James Bible? Of course he is. It's about the Spirit, it's not about the flesh. When the Spirit in man is stirred up, eternal changes develop in that life. But when the flesh is stirred up, man's emotions may get excited for a time, but soon enough is back to business as usual. At Central Baptist Church, we strive to deal with men's spirit, not their flesh. What I desire at Central Baptist Church, Brother Charlie, is for spiritual earthquakes. The title of the message today, Easter's Earthquake. If you found a place there in Matthew chapter 28, go ahead and stand with me if you would, and let's read the first six verses together. Matthew chapter number 28. Starting in verse number 1, everybody ready? The Bible says, "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and become as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said, Come and see the place where the Lord lay. And all God's people said, Thank you, and you may be seated. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, Lord, with excitement, Lord, and with expecting hearts. Lord, we pray, Lord, that you may give us a good service today, that your Spirit may have liberty. Lord, direct our hearts toward heaven through the Word of God. Lord, we are so excited about this day where the Lord Jesus Christ got up out of the grave, Lord, conquering all of our deepest fears and our enemies. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for what it means for us today. And we pray, Lord, that this text would be a help in us conveying those truths, Lord. Would you use the Word of God to settle those things in our heart, Lord, that you may establish us in our most holy faith, Lord, and help us to be a blessing not only to each other, but to others in this world who need hope. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you may work all of those things. Encourage hearts today. Lord, strengthen me. I need your help, Lord. I don't want to just preach a message, Lord. I pray, Heavenly Father, that this message may be your message, that it works in the hearts of every man and every woman that is here today. Lord, I pray that you may do these things and reach a heart I can't do. Lord, I can't reach a heart. But Lord, your word can and your spirit can. And we pray, Heavenly Father, you may do that for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, the title of the message, Easter's Earthquake. Now, we want to consider 4 points, which, when applied, will help guide each of us in experiencing a spiritual earthquake this Easter. Now, in the early church, there was a thrilling note that rang out on Easter Sundays. And that note was, Christ is risen. Christ is risen. And the returning response was just as rousing. He is risen indeed. Let's go ahead and try that out. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
All right, with a little more fire. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen. Can you imagine the excited energy that created as the saints cheerfully and genuinely greeted each other in that manner on Easter Sundays? In contrast to our flat and lifeless Easter greetings that pale in comparison today. I'm telling you, friends, the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ from the grave, it meant something to the saints of old. And the Church of Jesus Christ could sure use an Easter earthquake in the year 2020. Now, there's nothing wrong with special services for Easter. And had things not gone haywire, we'd be having a little bit of a special service today. There's nothing wrong with egg hunts on Easter. There's nothing wrong with dressing up in a new dress or a new suit. And there's nothing wrong with Easter parties. But when those things, when they begin to dwarf the triumph of Jesus Christ over death and hell, of Jesus Christ over the grave, in our programs, in our conversations, then it's time for a groundbreaking shakeup. Easter's earthquake. Well, we said we want to look at 4 points that, when applied, is going to help guide each of us in experiencing our own spiritual earthquake this Easter. Number one, I want us to see the maidens of the earthquake. And I realize not all of these ladies were maidens, but I needed an M for my outline, so you're just going to have to bear with it, okay? Look at verse number one, the maidens of the earthquake. Verse number one says, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. Now, our text mentions Mary Magdalene and the other Mary. But a study of all the Gospels reveals that there were actually at least 4 women that came. Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and Salome, the mother of James and John, the wife of Zebedee. And on their journey to the tomb that morning, Brother Roger, the women had a very legitimate question. Mark chapter 16 and verse number 3, they said, "Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?" Our text answers that question, and it answers other questions that are not addressed in the other Gospels. Questions like, how was the stone rolled away? What happened to the soldiers? And it tells us about Easter's earthquake. Thank God for the maidens of the earthquake, my friends. Their story supplies the saints with substantial scriptural substance for you and I to study. And that's exactly what we're going to do this morning. We're looking at the maidens of the earthquake. Number one, I want to draw your attention to the ladies and their speed. These women experienced many firsts on Easter. Think about it. They were the first to be told that Jesus Christ had risen from the grave. They were the first ones that discovered that the tomb was empty. And they were the first ones to see the resurrected Christ. Now, Brother Matt, that's interesting, because a woman, Eve, was also the first in the human race to sin. How fitting, and just like our wonderful God, that a woman was also the first to know about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, giving victory over sin. We're talking about the ladies and their speed. Notice verse number one says, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, these ladies arrived as soon as possible. Now, whether they traveled from Jerusalem or from Bethany, it really matters little. It took a while for them to get there. No doubt they had to start out in the dark, revealing their fearless bravery and arriving at the tomb at the very crack of dawn, about as early as they could. Now, Brother Charlie, if we want to experience an Easter earthquake, then like these ladies, we need to learn to be wise stewards of our time. Procrastination hinders blessings, but promptness helps blessings. And the ladies of our text received a tremendous blessing because they were prompt. My friends, you and I need that same speed when it comes to attending the services of God. We need that same speed when it comes to witnessing the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need that same speed when it comes to prayer for the brethren. And we need that same speed when it comes to time we spend in the Word of God. Quite frankly, in every area of our life, promptness over procrastination, we need to put ourselves in a position to receive the very best of God's blessing. Talking about the maidens of the earthquake, we've seen the ladies and their speed. Number two, I wanted you to see the ladies and their spices. Now, the women had a very distinct purpose in their visit. They were not coming to sightsee, nor to stand around and mourn. They were bringing spices for the body of Christ. Now, as soon as the crucifixion was over, Luke chapter 23 and verse 56 says, And they returned and prepared spices and ointments. And if we would experience an Easter earthquake, then we must cease all the sightseeing and standing around when it comes for opportunities to engage in service for Jesus Christ. Follow the end of Luke chapter 23 there this afternoon. Go read it. Follow through the end of Luke chapter 23, and no doubt you'll see that these ladies, they were looking for a way to be of service for Christ. And when they found it, the Bible says, they prepared spices and ointments. Listen, friends, Central Baptist Church has many, many opportunities to engage in service for Christ. And it is just waiting for choice servants like these ladies with their spices to fill them. If you really want to experience an Easter earthquake, engage in service for Jesus Christ today. Not only the ladies and their speed, the ladies and their spices. Number three, the ladies and their sentiment. The love these women had for Christ was above that of most. Now remember Mary Magdalene. The Bible says she had seven demons cast out of her. These ladies had an attitude of gratitude, and they went out and served Christ with distinct devotion. Now, a great principle of Scripture, Brother Matt, is that those who are saved from the clutches of sin, they tend to serve the Savior with supreme satisfaction. Listen to it. Song of Solomon, chapter 8, verses 6 and 7. The Bible says, love is strong as death. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. And constrained by their great love for the Lord Jesus Christ, these women were drawn to the tomb first, and they were drawn to the tomb early. Note also that their spices were very expensive. You know, great love always gives much. God's love was the greatest, and my friends, He gave the most. The Bible says He gave His only begotten Son. And an Easter earthquake can be ours when we learn to love the Lord like these ladies did. One preacher noted, saying, the stinginess of many professing Christians when the offering plate goes by only reveals their lack of love for Jesus Christ. And their love for the Lord led these ladies to give lavishly. We're talking about Easter's earthquake. In verse number 1, we see the maidens of the earthquake. Now look at verse number 2, and I want us to see the magnitude of the earthquake. The Bible says, and behold, there was a great earthquake, For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. Now, Matthew is the only gospel that records Easter's earthquake. But as you know, an earthquake was also reported during the crucifixion. Do you remember? Matthew chapter 27 and verse 51, the Bible says, "And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent." So concerning the passion of Christ, there were two separate earthquakes within 3 days of each other. We're talking about the magnitude of the earthquake. Number one, I want to draw your attention to the power of the magnitude. Now, Easter's earthquake was significant. Notice the text says, "Behold, there was a great earthquake." It occurred after the resurrection, but before the women arrived. Now, the word great is translated from the Greek word from which we get our word mega. It was a mega earthquake. Remember, the Richter scale was not yet invented, so the measurement for our text is simply given as great. In fact, Brother Roger, it was strong enough to break the seal from the tomb, and then the angel came along and he rolled away the stone from the door. Look at it. "And behold, there was a great earthquake, and the angel of the Lord descended from heaven, and he came and rolled back the stone from the door, and he sat upon it." Now, man thinks he's so powerful. The large stone in place, the sealing of the tomb, the military guards watching over, all the elaborate precautions of men to keep the work of God in its place. But Brother Roger, how easily, how quickly God's divine hand just sweeps aside the puny flexing of man's muscles. Psalm chapter 2 and verse number 4, "He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision." And during the tribulation, not even the Antichrist and all the armies of the world being gathered together is going to be able to stop the glorious purpose of our Heavenly Father to exalt His Son, Jesus Christ. He will rule. Church, let's get with that program here at Central Baptist Church. Let's get with the plan of God and with the purposes of God, because His program will advance forward. So let's go out and tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's get busy building His church here at 10 Powell Lane. Let's rescue the souls from hell here in Wakulla County, Florida. And let's get busy equipping the saints to go out and do the work of the ministry. Let's position this church right where the power of God is. I don't know about you, but I want an Easter earthquake starting today. We're talking about the magnitude of the earthquake. We've seen the power of the magnitude. Now I want us to think about the perspective of the magnitude. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is recorded in all four of the Gospels. And although Easter's earthquake in verse number 2 is described as great, it is only recorded in one gospel, the Gospel of Matthew. Now, this reminds us that no matter how big the natural disaster is, it must always take back page when compared to the headline breaking news of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, today it seems like folks are far more interested in earthquakes than they are about the resurrection. Think about it. Friends, it's Easter week. The churches are shut down, and everybody's talking about death instead of talking about life. Question, and don't answer out loud, but answer honestly in the secret chambers of your heart. This week, how much of your time was spent focused on the resurrection of Jesus Christ and thanking God in your heart in prayer, as compared to how much time was spent focused on the coronavirus? It shouldn't even be close. Listen, if Easter's become stale to you, then it's time to do a 180. Go get yourself freshened up and rededicate yourself to the purposes of God. We're talking about the perspective of the magnitude. Now, we've never made light of the coronavirus epidemic. It is a major problem, and serious steps need to be taken to minimize its spread and devastation. But what we have always maintained is this: there must be a proper perspective. And that's never going to be found in the panic-driven media. That's expected of the world, but listen, it should not be so among Christians. My friends, our eternal hopes are built upon the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Our eternal hopes are not built upon earthquakes like the coronavirus. The earthquakes always, Brother Roger, the earthquake will always grab the attention of mankind. Are you listening? But the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that's what should always grab the attention of the people of God. If Jesus didn't come out of that grave, then what we're doing right now is worthless. Brother Clayton, is really nothing more than an act of stupidity. Paul said that, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 14, "And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain, and your faith is also vain." Church, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the greatest single event in the history of the church. It is the seal. The resurrection is the crowning jewel of Christianity. Take away the resurrection, and my friend, there is no church, there is no gospel, there is no salvation, and there is no eternal life. If Jesus Christ did not come out of that grave, there is no Christianity. But when Jesus got up on that resurrection morning and he walked out of that grave, it was proof positive that he paid the debt of sin in full. When Jesus Christ got out of that grave, it was proof positive that he had won the battle over death and hell and the grave. When Jesus Christ got up out of that grave, it was proof positive he defeated the power of Satan and he had been accepted as our surety and as our substitute. And as such, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 3 says that he, Jesus, he hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Romans chapter 1 and verse number 4, speaking of Jesus, the Bible says he is declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of the dead. And my friends, we need a fresh reminder of the perspective of the magnitude today. Because today's church and today's Christian, we need serious transformation, for we, I fear, are too much like the world. We are far more consumed with earthquakes, and we stand in dire destitution when compared to our concern about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Easter's earthquake. In verse 1, the maidens of the earthquake. In verse 2, the magnitude of the earthquake. Now let's look at verses 3 and 4. I want us to see the marvel of the earthquake. Look at verse 3. His countenance was like lightning, speaking of the angel, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and become as dead men. Now, Matthew only mentions one angel, but when you look at the other Gospels, we find that there were other angels there as well. And as our text demonstrates, angels are always a marvel for men to behold, hence the marvel of the earthquake. So what happens here in verses 3 and 4? Well, the angel comes, he descends from heaven, he scares the soldiers senseless. He rolls the stone away from the tomb's entrance, and then he plops down and takes a seat on it. Now listen to me. The angel did not remove that stone so that the Savior could get out. Jesus was long gone. The angel didn't remove the stone so that the Savior could get out. The angel removed the stone so that the ladies and others were able to get in. The angel was not creating an exit. The angel was creating an entrance. He knew that the Prince of Heaven was long gone out of that tomb, but he also knew that others would need to see that for themselves. We're talking about the marvel of the earthquake. Look at verse number 3 at the stunning seraphim. Verse number 3 says, "His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow." Now, the angel's appearance was striking. Brother Roger, it was traumatic to those who saw it. Now, the lightning conveys the glittering glory of heaven. The white as snow conveys the holiness of heaven. Remember on the Mount of Transfiguration, speaking of Christ, on the Mount of Transfiguration, we find words like this to describe how Christ appeared. Shining, sun, glistening. Now, what does all that mean? Friend, all that tells us is that the very best views on earth, and there are some marvelous views on earth. They come across our computer screen as screensavers. We see them on calendars. But compared to the very best views on earth, they all are dull and drab when compared to the glory of heaven. Whenever heaven reveals itself on earth, its splendor always far outshines the very best that earth has to offer. How foolish then, chasing the bright lights of earth for 50, 60, 70 years of life instead of serving Jesus Christ and being able to enjoy all the brightness and the bliss of heaven for eternity. My friend, if you want to experience an Easter earthquake, then today start setting your affection on things above and not on the things of earth. We're talking about the marvel of the earthquake. Verse 3 shows us the stunning seraphim. Look at verse 4 at the starstruck sentries. The Bible says, "And for fear of him," the angel, "the keepers did shake and became as dead men." Now, the soldiers were there to guard the tomb, but I'm afraid they missed the show. They didn't get to see Jesus Christ rise from the dead. But what they did see, the angel literally scared them to death. The Bible says they were as dead men. That means they fainted. I'm telling you, they did more shaking than the angel did. And what an embarrassing response that was for the pride of Rome. My friend, the star-struck sentries at the tomb, they show us that it was God and not Rome who was in charge. I'm telling you, that morning when they received that charge that day to go guard Jesus Christ, Brother Charlie, I bet they figured, this is the easiest assignment we're ever going to have. All we got to do is keep a dead man in his grave. And at worst, they were expecting a feeble attack from his band of disciples. But my friend, then the angel appeared, and the angels, they scared the soldiers. They were fearful. They fainted, and they fled. They all ran away. Thus, God effectively removes all hindrances from anyone wishing to witness the resurrection and empty tomb of his son, Jesus Christ. What a reminder to us that God can powerfully and God can quickly remove all hindrances to his work. If you want to receive an Easter earthquake, don't be a hindrance to the work of God. We're talking about Easter's earthquake. Verse 1 shows us the maidens of the earthquake. Verse 2 shows us the magnitude of the earthquake. Verses 3 and 4 show us the marvel of the earthquake. And now let's look at verses 5 and 6 at the message of the earthquake. Look at verse number 5. "And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay." The earthquake, what was it? It was nothing more than a trumpet sounding forth the note of conquest. And it alerted all heaven and earth. It alerted hell. The Son of God was victorious over death, and he was victorious over sin. And the same earth, which a few days before had shook in sorrow at the death of Jesus Christ, that same earth is now leaping for joy at the resurrection of the Son of God. So what is the message of the earthquake? Well, I think there are several. Number one, there's the change in the message. In the Bible, earthquakes often accompany a new dispensation in God's program. And remember, the word dispensation simply means a time or an age. And so the time of the law, the age of the law, was accompanied by an earthquake. Do you remember there in Exodus chapter 19 and verse 18? As Moses was there upon Mount Sinai receiving the law, the Bible says, and the whole mount was a smoke and it did quake. So an earthquake accompanied the dispensation of the law. John 1 verse 17, the Bible says, and the law, the time, the dispensation of the law, and the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth, a different dispensation, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And the age of grace was also marked by an earthquake. It's the one of our text. In addition, I want you to write this verse down, Hebrews chapter 12. We'll not turn there. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 25 to 27. You go read that. It will also reinforce the principle to you that earthquakes are often accompanying the new dispensations of God's eternal plan of time. Not only the change in the message, number two, the condemnation in the message. In the Bible, earthquakes generally carry a message of judgment with them. When the earth quakes, God is flexing his muscle against sin. Now, the sin of trying to stop the resurrection by the Roman government and by the Jewish religious leaders of that day, it brought the condemnation of the message. It brought the earthquake. In the Bible, when an earthquake is reported, it is God speaking. Let me give you some verses. Psalm 18 and verse 7. The earth shook and trembled because he was wroth. Speaking of the sin in the land, Isaiah chapter 29 and verse number 6, the Bible says, thou shalt be visited by the Lord of hosts with earthquake. We're not going to turn to these, and I'm not going to quote them, but I'm going to give you some verses to write down. I want you to go home and study them. That also tell us that God speaks in judgment through earthquakes. Amos chapter 1 and verse 1. Zechariah chapter 14, verses 4 and 5. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 7. Mark 13 verse 8. Luke 21 and verse 11. All of these are in Revelation. Revelation 6 verse 12. Chapter 8 verse 5. Chapter 11 verses 13 and 19. And chapter 16 and verse number 18. Yes, the world mocks and the world laughs at the idea of God speaking in judgment through an earthquake, but the Word of God, which is truth, is unmistakably clear. Not only do we find the change in the message and the condemnation in the message, number three, there's the comfort of the message. Look at verse 5. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. Brother Matt, the lady certainly needed the comfort of the message. Do you remember the star-struck sentries? And so the angel's first words to these ladies were, fear not. How reassuring it is, Brother Clayton, during the dispensation of grace, that heaven's words back to us are these, fear not. So the angel comforts the women, letting them know that no harm is going to befall them. You know, mankind imagines all kinds of wrongful actions against the Lord, but the message coming back from heaven is a comforting and reassuring one. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Acts chapter 16 and verse number 31. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. saved. Romans chapter 10 and verse 13. What a comforting message that is to sinful men. But notice also in verse 5. The angel said, I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. The angel lets the ladies know that he knows exactly why they were there. You know, God knows everything that we do. And he knows why we do what we do. And I'm telling you, for those who are disobedient, that's a pretty disturbing thought. But those who are devoted, that is a divine thought. God knows why you come to church. God knows why you're here this morning. God knows why you read the Bible during the week. God knows why you bow the knee and you bow your head and you pray and you seek out God for help and for direction and for blessing in your life. God knows why you share the gospel of Jesus Christ with others. God knows why you serve Him. What a comforting thought for those who are busy serving the Lord. But notice also, the angel said, I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. The testimony from heaven is a very clear one. Jesus did indeed die on the cross, thus squashing all conspiracy theories otherwise stating that he was somehow alive. The cross first, the crucifixion. The crown second, the resurrection. The same is true for us today. Humility before honor. Testing before triumph. Devotion in the Word of God before illumination and revelation in the mind of men. Obedience before reward. And faithfulness in a lowly position before promotion to a higher position. The change in the message, the condemnation in the message, the comfort in the message, and number four this morning, look at verse 6, the conquest of the message. The angel said, He is not here, for He is risen, as He said. Come and see the place where the Lord lay. My friends, Jesus was gone. The tomb is empty. Jesus rose from the dead. The great announcement of conquest of the Easter message. Jesus is alive. What did Jesus say? I am He which liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of death and hell. Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 18. Church, the conquest of the message from that angel has never been refuted. The enemies of Christ could not produce a body, nor did they have a body, else they would have shown it. Now, churches today talk about the spirit of the resurrection. No, the spirit of the resurrection is Jesus Christ got up out of that grave in a literal, physical body. Jesus said He would get out of the grave, and He did, and friends, when He did, it changed the course of all of human history. He is not here, for He is risen, as He said, come see the place where the Lord lay. Now listen to me real quick. The real panic behind this coronavirus is the fear of death. That's the real panic. That's what it's all about. But Jesus is the gift of life. And even us as God's people, even Christians, if Jesus tarries, we cannot escape death ourselves. It's going to get us all. But Jesus came and He offers eternal life. The resurrection of Jesus Christ defeated for time and eternity the power of death. And Jesus came, He died on that cross. 3 days later, He got up out of that grave just like He said He would, to offer eternal life to all who place their faith and trust in Him. In fact, Brother Clayton, one of the reasons that Jesus Christ came was to defeat the power of death. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 14, that through death he, Jesus, might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Now what that verse means is when Jesus Christ died, and when He got up out of the grave, He defeated the power that the devil had over death. People are terrified, absolutely terrified at the prospect of their own mortality. Most of America is unsaved. It's clearer now to see than it ever has been before. And we need to get busy, and we need to get the glorious message of salvation out to America right now. That message Jesus has overcome. For in Him is life, the Bible says. We don't have to live in the fear of death. In Christ there is life. Men want to live, but men have sinned, and therefore men must die. For the Bible says the wages of sin, the payment, the wages of sin is death. But Christ came and He freely gave us all, He freely gave us life so that we all might have life in ourselves. Through His resurrection from the grave, the forgiveness of our sin removes the claim of the second death from our life, and we can experience eternal life through Jesus Christ, being part of the first resurrection. John chapter 11 and verse 25, Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life." Jesus said, "He is life. I'm the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." Believest thou this? That's an earthquake this world needs. Think about it. Wouldn't that just shake the whole world up? Across every newspaper headline, flashing across the top of every internet page that you go to, the breaking news banner on the screen of every national news network, the cure of death is discovered. It's Jesus of Nazareth. Turn to Him in faith and you shall live forever. Wow. Think about it. Wouldn't that shake up the whole world? Yes, man's greatest fear, fully and fatally foiled forever. My friends, that would be fantastic. But when we have traitors to the gospel, like Joel Osteen, going on national TV and proclaiming many ways to heaven, just be sincere in your beliefs. I'm telling you, what should we do about that, Brother Joe? We shouldn't just get angry about it and spout about it. That ought to urge us to go out and tell someone we have the answer to man's mortality problem. It's Jesus, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 10, speaking of Christ, He hath abolished death, and He hath brought life and immortality to life through the power of the gospel. Now, my friend, I'm going to present to you that's either true or it's false. Jesus Christ has either abolished death or He has not abolished death. He has either brought life to us or He has not brought life to us. He has given us the chance at immortality or He has not given us a chance in immortality. He has abolished death. He's given life. He's given immortality. It's done through the gospel of Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 10. Men want to live. We have the answer to their deepest, darkest, most dreaded and daunting thing in their life, death. We have the answer. Men want to live. Let's help them with that desire by helping them come to Jesus Christ, sharing the gospel with them. Would you commit to sharing the gospel of Christ? If you do, the power of God's going to go with you. Romans 1, verse number 16, Paul said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to everyone that believeth." Commit to sharing the gospel. God's power will go with you. Yes, yes, the Lord can use you. He can use you to sow the seed of life. And who knows, perhaps you may bring someone to salvation in Jesus Christ this very week, this very month, this very year. You don't believe that? My friend, you should. Help folks come to Jesus. Hey, that earthquake, it jolted the land that day. The power of God is in the gospel. And when we take it with us, my friend, we have the opportunity to jolt Wakulla County and this planet with Easter's earthquake. And in a million years from now, you know, it's been well said, when you want to decide what you need to do today, make that decision based on the future. And in a million years from now, as we grace heaven's paradise, serving the Lord Jesus Christ face to face, what a joy to know that others, 5, 25, 50 plus, that others are there also because we shared Easter's earthquake with them. Huh? Let's stop being a wishbone about it and let's actually start doing it. Right now, we may be handcuffing God. Let's give God a chance by sharing the message of a living Savior. The maidens in the earthquake. The magnitude of the earthquake. The marvel and the message of the earthquake. It's a message of conquest. He's alive and I'm forgiven. Heaven's gates are open wide. Jesus Christ has risen. He is not here, for He is risen, as He said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. We're going to have a time of invitation.